Good early morning. As we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday together, some lights would help. And let there be light. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 27, beginning verse 62 through 66, and we'll venture over into Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. I need you to bear with me and pray with me. I either have a virus or food poisoning. So, Brother Brian is on standby. Empty tomb of resurrection victory. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed that God would remove the penalty of sin on him that would cost us, that cup to be removed, that God's wrath would not come upon him. But he wanted to be faithful to what God is doing and what God wanted for the plan of salvation, so he went through. Last week, we looked at the crucifixion and what it cost, the very things that Jesus went through. And today, we talk about the victory that we have in the resurrection. Because you see, if Jesus would have just died and been buried, we would have no hope today of ever rising again. No hope. N.T. Wright said this, said the resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it. So we begin reading in Matthew 27, verse 62, on down to 28, verse 10. It says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, and that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Verse 65, take a guard, Pilate answered. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the tomb or on the stone and posting the guard. Chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and had become like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said to them. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there will they see me. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this Resurrection Sunday, a day that we celebrate specifically your rising from the dead. God, thank you for making our salvation complete, for Jesus paying the complete price of everything that we would ever owe for sin, and that he took your very wrath upon himself in our behalf. God, help us today to see great promise in the resurrection that it's for all believers. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three promises that we can gather from the resurrection. The first promise is this, is the promise of hope. The promise of hope. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead seals the hope of all who trust him for salvation. Jesus brings hope to the entire world that salvation is possible for whosoever will. Not just a select few, not just the holy people, not just the white people, not just the black people, not just the Chinese, for everyone. Everyone. The empty tomb confirms the truth of Jesus' words that he said that he would rise again. Over in John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered them, says, destroy this temple, talking about his body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Jesus told his disciples, and they were listening, but you know what? Like disciples today, church, sometimes we just don't get it. They didn't get everything that he was talking about. The Jewish leaders thought Jesus was a lunatic. They thought he was nuts. Matter of fact, they blamed him for blasphemy because he said that he was God's son. Thought he was a lunatic. Disciples were just didn't understand Jesus' prophetic message about his death and rising from the dead. The Savior was giving them hope. He was giving them hope that in this lost world, they had something to look forward to. They had something to look forward to, that they would not just die and be buried and that was it. Salvation was possible. The Savior was giving them hope and they didn't grasp his message. Yet the resurrected Jesus is the only hope for the world. Listen, you can't find it in a New Age movement. You can't find it in any other thing around the world. The only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday, today, and the many tomorrows that lead us into eternity, it is always Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, period. Jesus. We'll see in verse 5 of Matthew 28. So the angel spoke to these women. I can picture these women going over to the tomb that morning out in the garden, and they were not expecting anything major. They were going there to grieve. They were going there to mourn. They were going to the cemetery just to be quiet for a while and reminisce about all the things that Jesus had taught them. But when they got there, lo and behold, the stone was rolled away and an angel was sitting upon it. The Bible says he looked like lightning. The angel spoke to the women and says, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was laying. So here these women got to peek into the tomb, and there Jesus had neatly folded up his grave clothes and set them down. These ladies went to the tomb prepared just to mourn, and here they had the greatest news of all, that Jesus was alive. These followers of Jesus, who only days before saw their teacher, their Messiah, their hope, crucified and died the death of a criminal, now their hope is alive. Unforeseen and unseen to them, hope has lived eternity past in the spirit world. Jesus Christ has lived there forever and ever and ever. Jesus is the hope of all ages and for all people. The resurrection of Jesus meant that all the prophecy and all the promises that God laid out were true. Today we look back in faith at the cross of Jesus Christ. Some 2,000 years later, we look back at what Jesus did. What a great thing he did for us. He died on the cross to set us free, and then he resurrects from the dead. And we trust Jesus that he was the payment for our sin. But maybe you ask, what happened to the Old Testament people? See, they were always looking forward to the Messiah coming. We're now looking back to what he did on Calvary's cross, and we're looking forward to his second coming. There's a verse I want to tie in for us this morning from last week. The Old Testament saints look forward to Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 51 through 53. We read this last week. And I don't want anyone to be confused about what God's word is talking about. From last week at Jesus' crucifixion. It says, the earth shook and the rock split. And the tombs broke open and bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. See, Matthew's reminiscing and writing about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And he includes this verse to note something about the holy people, those from the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament saints who were faithful to God, they got to rise from the dead with Jesus Christ. For you see, when Jesus died on the cross, what did he tell the thief who repented and accepted him? He said, from this day forward, you will be with me in paradise. So when Jesus passed away, when he gave up the ghost, when he gave up the spirit, he immediately went into paradise. In Jewish thought, there's abode of the dead, and there's paradise, and also known as Abraham's bosom, and then there's hell. And between the two, there's this great chasm. Jesus talks about that in one of his parables, one of his stories. And so when Jesus died, he went into paradise. And there's another verse that says he preached to those souls who were in chains. Those were the people who died during Noah's day, when Noah preached for 120 years. And people rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected God, the coming Messiah. They rejected him. They were there. Jesus preached to them, not that they could be saved, but proclaiming that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus was there 3 days in the tomb. On the third day, he resurrected. The Bible says when he resurrected, we just read in those verses that holy people, those from the Old Testament, that Jesus had just emptied out paradise to take them to heaven. When Jesus ascended, they did too. Some of you are saying, I've never heard that before, Brother Kevin. But you see, those in hell are still waiting for judgment. Those who in the Old Testament did not follow God, those who were pagans, they're still waiting on judgment day, just like those who died today without Christ are waiting on judgment. They became, those holy people became the first fruits of the resurrection. The Bible does not emphasize this account of the holy people resurrecting after Jesus because the real story is Jesus. The real story is Jesus. It's not the extra things that happened. Because Jesus resurrected, the story, the focus is always Jesus, his resurrection, because without his resurrection, none of the rest of it would be possible. Jesus is our hope. He is our refuge. He is our Savior. He is our King. John 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said this, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Basil Hume said this. He said, the great gift of Easter is hope. Christian hope, which makes us have that confidence in God, that his triumph and his goodness and love, which nothing can shake. We have that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection gives us hope that even today, if we pass away, it's only a short time. The second promise that we see from this passage is new life. It's new life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the completion of God's salvation plan, which offers new life to all sinners who by faith and repentance will follow him. We have hope and we have new life in Christ. The resurrection means life, a new life for everyone who will believe. and follow? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Do you believe that? Do you live like it? Do you follow Him? Or are you a follower of Jesus or simply a fan of Jesus? See, followers go through the difficult times with Christ. Fans are there for the good times, and then they disappear. We see in verse 6 of Matthew 28, the angel said, "He is not here. He is risen, just as He said." Luke adds a little more colorful expression to this same account of the resurrection. Luke 24, verse 5 and 6, he says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, He's risen. Remember how He told you." Your new life in Christ begins by your faith in Him, turning from your sin to Jesus as your Savior. Are you tired of trying to figure your life out? Are you tired of trying to figure all the things out and running into dead ends again and again and again? That early Sunday morning, that first day of the week, was a grievous time for these disciples, was a grievous time for these women who were going to the tomb. Because you see, they were still trying to figure it all out. How could Jesus have died? He promised to be here. He said He was the Messiah. He said He was God's Son. How could He die? We saw Him die the death of a criminal. Can you imagine how defeated they felt? Some of them even may have felt like fools, that they could have devoted their life only to see their leader fall. These Christ followers were going to Jesus' tomb to view the dead end of life as they knew it. They were not expecting to find an empty tomb. They were expecting to sit by the tomb and mourn and grieve and cry and talk about the fun times that they had, the good times they had, all the miracles He had done. That's what they were expecting to do. They were not expecting to find a vacant tomb with only discarded grave clothes and an angel that says, "He's alive. Jesus is alive." Jesus' words to Martha echo loudly, as recorded in John chapter 11, verse 25. Says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in Me will live, even though he dies." He will live. Jesus gave all sinners victory. All sinners victory. If they only accept His free gift of salvation, that free gift of grace, you too can have a new life. You can proclaim victory through Jesus Christ, His resurrection. This Easter Sunday morning, April 16, 2017, can be a new day and a new life for you. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've played religion. Maybe you've done all the rites and rituals or everything, whatever church you belong to, but you know today if you died, there's a big question mark whether you go to heaven or not. Oh, what great peace it is to know not only do we have hope in Jesus, but we have a new life, and that new life has promise. That new life was promised in Jesus, that we would live with Him for eternity. Trust in Jesus. Accept Him to be your personal Savior. Invite Him to abide in your life, and He will give you the power you need to live for Him. Just stop trying to be good enough. Stop trying to do enough good works to get to heaven. There's some of us been taught so poorly and so wrongly that if you're a good person and you do enough good things, then you might get there. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. You can never work enough. You can never be good enough to get to heaven. It's a gift of grace given to us by Jesus Christ. A gift. What do you do with a gift? You accept it or you reject it. It's that easy. Do you accept Jesus today as your Savior? Trust in Him. Not in a church, not in a denomination. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Your new life in Jesus begins when you, by faith and repentance, receive Him as your Savior. The new life you experience does not mysteriously take away all of the things that's going wrong in your life, all the troubles and trials and stresses. Listen, it doesn't do all that. But you do have the promise that Jesus will be with you, walking through all those times with you. Josh McDowell said it this way: while the resurrection promises us a new life, a new and perfect life in the future, God loves us too much to leave us alone, to contend with guilt and pain and loneliness of our present life. So even though we know that we have life eternal and we have happiness and perfection when we're with Him in heaven, God loves us too much to leave us alone, to go through this life with all the guilt and all the troubles and all the problems and bear them alone. Lee Strobel said it this way. He said, Jesus Christ did not come into the world to make bad people good. He came into the world to make dead people live. Third promise we have, and we're closing. Third promise we have from the resurrection is peace. It's peace. Listen, I'm not talking about peace in the world. I'm talking about this inner abiding peace deep within the soul of every believer, that it doesn't matter what our situations, what happenings are on the outside, what trials and turmoils we go through, there's this abiding peace that it will be okay, that God is in control of it, and we don't have to make things up. He's in control of it. The resurrection assures all believers that Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit, who gives us comfort and power and peace. Verse 10 and 11, we saw, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. When Jesus says, do not be afraid, listen, that's peace. Because of the completed work of Jesus, we can live with the abiding peace that all will be all right. Life does bring troubling times. We will face trials. We will face tragedies. Yet at the very core of who we are as a person, as a believer, we have this abiding peace that only God can give. I see people struggling through cancer. I see people who have faced tragedies and lost loved ones in their life, and they're just at peace. Yes, they have questions. Oh, yes, they do have doubts. There's this abiding peace. When they get all the emotional stuff out of the way, they know that God is leading them and He's in control. Because of the empty tomb, we have peace. Because of His resurrection, we can have peace during even the most troubling times, because we know that He is in control of all that happens in the world. Paul Chappelle said that. Jesus' resurrection brings comfort to those who have lost loved ones. So not only in troubles that we go through, but those who have lost loved ones. Because the resurrection, we have the guarantee that we too will rise again at the second coming. You know what I really like when we focus in a time that we see a loved one has passed and we bury them, and you know, listen, it hurts, and we go through these waves of emotions. But as believers, we know that it's only a short time. It's only a short passing, and we'll see them again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Talk about peace. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about all those who fall asleep or die or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. We have hope and comfort because Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection brings us peace to know that the Savior lives, and all who die in Him live forever with Him in His kingdom. Jesus defeated death in the grave and set believers free from the prison of sin and punishment. The resurrection set us free. We also see that we gain peace in our faith, as sure as Christ as a living Lord. We do not serve a dead Savior, but we serve a living Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 and 20 says, if Christ has not been risen from the dead, then your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of your sins. But in fact, Christ has risen from the dead. He is the first of the greatest harvest of all who have died. Oh, we have peace. We have peace because Jesus, who he said he is, what he does for us, the very faith we proclaim is useless and dead without Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection brings power and comfort in this life because we're certain that our faith is not in vain. Our trust is in the living Savior, and we feel free in him. We are free. We're at peace because death is only a temporary parting of life. Death's time is limited. Jesus has the victory already. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he brought victory over death. And in the very end, when Christ returns back on Judgment Day, death will be done away with completely. No more parting from our loved ones. Oh, what peace that brings to us. That we lose a brother or sister in Christ, we lose a mother or father in Christ, we lose our son or daughter in Christ, that it's only a little while we'll see him again. We have power, comfort, and peace in the resurrection. Today, are you living in the power of the resurrected Lord? Will you today accept him as your Savior? Do you have that peace that only he can bring? Do you have that new life that only he can bring? It's a promise. It's a promise that when you accept Christ, he brings these things to you. Do you have him as your Savior today? See, we gather for an Easter celebration, a resurrection celebration. But Jesus is resurrected every day. He lives every day. We set one day aside a year to really magnify that, but our Savior is very much alive, very much alive. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ? Not just some things about him, but do you know him personally? See, there are a lot of people who've gone to church, and they've been raised in church, and they know a lot of facts and figures, a lot of Bible stories about Jesus. But they don't know Jesus. You watch enough news, you know a lot of things about Donald Trump. You hear a lot of things and stories out there. But if you picked up the phone and called Donald Trump, your president, you think he'd answer? No, because you don't know him personally and he doesn't know you. The difference is there are a lot of people who know Jesus and a lot of things about him, but they don't know him. Would you today, by faith and repentance, make Jesus your Lord, your Savior? Very simple. Jesus didn't make a lot of hoops for us to jump through. He already paid the price on Calvary's cross. He completed God's plan by resurrection. All he wants us to do is whosoever will accept him. Let's pray together. Father God, today, we're so thankful, Lord, that you help us through difficult times. Lord, I thank you for walking with us. Even when we can't see where we're going, you're there with us, guiding us and leading us. God, I pray for your people today, this special day that we set aside to commemorate your resurrection. Lord, help us to not only remember, but allow it to burn deep in our soul that you are there with us all the time, because you are a living Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ask our deacon.